No one cares. Everyone is gonna die someday. So get your shit done now before it happens to you.
Welcome back to the Benchcast, everyone.
Oh, hey, Zany. Weenie in the butt.
Weenie in the butt.
Butt.
Fantastic news. My son has not only figured out that butts are hilarious, but that he now calls people a butt.
Oh, okay. That was a solid insult for a while when we were kids.
It's so good when he says it to you. Because first of all, he's like almost four. What are you going to say to an almost four-year-old?
Now, question.
Yeah.
Does he say...
He just says, you're a butt.
Yeah, you're a butt?
Yep, you're a butt.
Oh, okay.
And, like, he'll say it at the best time, too. I'll do something stupid and dad-like. Okay, here's the good one. And ordinarily, I wouldn't actually admit this. But I have one of those wireless speakers in my kitchen. And we're playing some music. Actually, it was on Google Play.
Was it Avril Lavigne?
No. It was the Rockin' Around the Living Room. It's like 80s rock and kind of poppy stuff and whatever.
Oh, yeah. That's my decade.
So,
Wait for it.
I know. We gotta wait for it.
That was a good one?
Not bad.
I felt good. I still don't know how to tell.
So, it's getting on with the hey-ho, let's go. And I'm going around just like skanking up a storm and like I'm getting right into it, right? And I stop because he's not dancing with me. And normally he dances around the kitchen with me and it's a big gay old time. And he looks at me like through the top of his eyes.
I love it.
And he goes, Dad, you're a butt. And I was like, fuck you. I'm not a butt. I'm just trying to dance around and be nice to my son. But I was like...
And then he spent the afternoon in the trunk of the car.
You're right. Daddy is kind of a butt. Coming at you from the Devil's Bench, downtown Brantford. Even though some people in Brantford say it's not actual downtown, like the downtown consortium of small businesses and small business lookalikes, this is definitely a part of downtown. Reppin' downtown, B.yo. Come and find us online, thedevilsbench.com or / The Devil's Bench, or Devil's Bench, / Devil's Bench on social. Or go look us up on the Facebook thing, if you want to. Although, I'm going to be honest with you, I fucking rarely check it. Rarely. I use Facebook for posting stuff on DB's Facebook page. So, if you really want to get a hold of us, get a hold of us there. Other than that, ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Not even a little.
You know what's funny? I don't feel like I've accomplished anything in the last 2 weeks. Like, I think my brain thinks it's 2 weeks ago. It's just like it's already Wednesday again. Because I'm an idiot and, you know, wasn't busy enough with, like, a newborn baby. But I decided, hey, let's get a puppy, too.
Yeah.
So.
How's that? Oh, you know what? As a matter of fact, I meant to bring this up with you before we started recording, but.
Oh, good.
As the night wears thin, I'm not going to have time to have this conversation with you elsewhere. So the other thing that I wanted to mention to you, because I know that you are obviously a gigantic fan of an insanely busy lifestyle, like that's why you got another puppy.
That's right.
My elderly neighbor unfortunately passed away, leaving her house vacant beside me. So if you want to start like a hippie commune, now's the time. Okay, we'll go buy it then.
Give me the thing that you buy it with.
I have no idea.
Give me the UPC code and I'll bring it up to the register.
Yeah, it's actually, I texted you about this earlier this week because it's a strange thing. Like, I've never dealt with that as an adult male. I was like, hey, do I cut her grass? So here's the weird thing, right? Every year I've been there, she hires this grass cutting company. They just cut the grass the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Homeboy shows up today and starts cutting the grass. And I was thinking to myself, do you know that you ain't getting paid for this? Like, I'm not stepping in. Anyways,
unless
you got a new puppy.
It's like a pre-authorized debit, and it just comes out automatically. Although they'll probably put a kibosh on that thing. Yeah, I got a new puppy because, you know, I'm off work on, everyone calls it maternity leave, which is funny. So I'm off on maternity leave, and my wife's off till July 2. So we're just like, you know, we've always wanted a second dog, and we were just talking about it, and it's like, you know, there's a lot of things the baby needs that I can't do anything about. You know, like
yeah.
if he's hungry, sorry, you know, these are for display only. So I sent a message to the lady we got our first dog from, and she just happened to have, you know, three girls ready to go basically the next week after I emailed her.
Nice.
And it was just like, oh, shit. All right, let's do it.
Now or never, right?
Once we go back to work, you know, we're never going to have this opportunity where we're both off again. And, you know, when we trained Penny, we were both working full time. We didn't have a baby, but we were both working full time. So it's like we were away together 40 hours a week, and we trained Penny, and she's a great dog. So it's like now we have Penny to kind of reinforce the training. You have both of us at home. And the nice thing is that ever since the little one came along, you know, not that Penny was being ignored. It's just she didn't have 100% of our time anymore.
Yep.
She might only have 75.
Yeah, yeah.
And I never realized it until we brought the new one home. But, like, she's really, like, a sensitive dog.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I got to, you know, you got to yell. You have to get that no in them, right? And
yeah.
then so she's just going around nibbling on everything, like pulling at the curtains
and
stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just like, no. And then Penny's on the other side of the room, and she just, like, rolls over on her back. I'm like, I'm not yelling at you.
You got a good dog, man. You have a dog that's so good, when I go home, I'm like, my dog's retarded. I failed as a dog owner.
Well, and the funny thing is that, like, a lot of people have said, like, you know, she's really well-trained, and, you know, and I'm like, yes, we did an exemplary job. But none of it's us. Like, I mean, we took her to, like, puppy training school.
Yeah.
But even this one, she's 10 weeks old. We've had her since last Friday, and just perfect. I think she's going to be better than Penny is, because where we remember Penny being, this one's ahead of that.
Yeah.
She's already going up the stairs. She comes when we call her. She's completely, I mean, I don't want to say she's completely house trained, but she's really good at letting us know when she has to go. Like, she hasn't even been in our house a week, and she knows to go to the door when she has to pee.
Yeah.
So it's just like, wow, she's going to be good, knock on wood. So.
Well, that's awesome.
They're great. The Corgi, anyone who's listening, and since I got my last dog, it's a Corgi. So they're an amazing breed. Like, they're just, I don't know, just intuitive.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just really good. They're really good dogs.
That's good. I'm excited to meet that little pooch.
Oh,
I just like
cute.
Meeting pups. I like smelling puppies.
Breath, man.
Oh.
Dude, and I got to say, you know, a couple weeks ago, I was, you know, bitching and moaning about, like, the shitty experiences I've had. Like, every time I go anywhere to spend my money, it's like they do everything they can to give me reasons not to. I have to say that I always forget the name of it. Is it Brant Vet Clinic?
The Brantford Veterinary Clinic.
Brantford Veterinary Clinic is the hands down number one best place I've ever been a patron of. You know, like, I've never had a better place. I mean, it's weird to say, like, I've done business, you know what I mean? But it's like, yeah, I've never had a better experience before.
They beat the shit out of Beaties, I'll tell you that much.
You know what I remember when I was younger? Like, I mean, when we had our first dog, we had an old basset hound when I was a kid. And I remember, even years later, my parents always referencing when we took that, like, he was gone when I was like eight, 9 years old. So this is how long it's been. And they always complained about that place. I don't know. I've had no dealings, but Brantford Veterinary Clinic, I called just to say we had the new one, and her nails had never been trimmed because she was still little. Right. And, because they were still like the whole crescent hook.
Yeah.
When she got into her bed, we got her a new bed, and she went to get out, and her back nails were stuck. So she was walking around like this little turtle with, like, her front legs were on the ground and those were hooked. So I'm like, I'm going to get her in to get her nails tripped, even though her first appointment was today. Saturday by appointment only, call them up, let them know. First off, they knew who we were.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like I have to say, yeah, you know, it's Alex. You know, and then what do you say? Like, Penny's owner? Because they know who she is, right?
Yeah.
But no, they knew who I was. And then I said, I know you're by appointment only and you're probably busy. And then she's like, oh, yeah, we're fully booked, but we want to meet your dog. And you can come in at such and such a time. We'll make time for you.
Yeah.
And then I walked in, and true to form, they were busy. Everyone came out and, like, were asking, you know, how Penny was doing, how my kid's doing, like, loving the dog. Just awesome.
Exemplary, yeah.
And it's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to just sing the praises of it, because I mean, it just seems like it's so matter of fact when you're there, but it really is. It's been so rare from anywhere I've spent money at in like the last year and a half. If every place I spent money was like that, I'd be walking around just like with theme music playing in my head all day, you know?
I took my dog Trigger to puppy class there, like way, way back. And he's a good dog. He's just got so much energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And usually like that's something you'd hear people say about their dog when their dog's shitty. He's really a good dog. Yeah,
he's just he's really wound up.
He's
high strung.
He just gets ranged up. And like now, especially when people come in the door, he gets he used to get like nippy and jumping up to lick your face.
Yeah.
And now he still gets all wound up, but he's a mature dog now, so he doesn't have as much spunk to him. But man, when he was a pup, I was like, I'm never getting a Brittany Spaniel again. But then you forget about it, right?
Yeah.
And then as soon as you got your pup and we were looking at pictures and I showed my mom and my gran and that, I was like, you know what? Maybe we'll get... And this is the other thing that happened. We were all out front farting around in the garden and this pickup truck went by with three Brittany Spaniels.
Oh, jeez.
Two hanging their heads out the passenger window and one hanging its head out the rear passenger. And we were like, oh, let's get another Brittany. And then it just like PTSD kicks in. It's like flashback. No.
You know, I can't remember who said it, but someone said, you know, two is better than one.
Yeah.
And
it's got to be the case, right?
It really is. I mean, as long as they're inherently good dogs, right? Because now Penny's not as needy. You're coming up to us and like, you know, especially when we're tired from if the little one's up all night or anything like that. You're just like, yeah, just chew your bone or go read the newspaper or something like that. And then, you know, you feel bad because you're not giving her the attention. The two of them just like Royal Rumble out in the backyard.
Yeah.
They come in just covered in each other's slobber and grass. And they're just like tongues are hanging for like a mile. They're so tired. And then they both go to sleep. And then it's just like, great. Like they've gotten exercise. They've been social. And then now when I try to get the little one to sit, she sees Penny sit. She sits right away rather than me trying to convey that through like the Charlie Brown teacher voice in their brain to like, this means sit.
Yeah.
It's, I can see where that comes from.
Yeah. I mean, I think we kind of missed the boat to get another pup. Cause
how old is Trigger?
Five?
Yeah.
Six, something like that. So, I mean,
who knows though? I mean,
we could. I kind of grew up in a kennel. My grandparents had a kennel forever. Right. So I've seen every mixed mash, you know, in terms of age anyway. They bred Cocker Spaniels.
Oh, I used to love... Well, I mean, not that I don't love those dogs anymore, but when I was a kid, all I wanted was a Cocker Spaniel.
Really, eh?
Well, because...
See, I was sick of them. By I was like 13, I was like, I never want to see another Cocker Spaniel again.
Well, because my mom babysat kids, and then we became friends. And so when I went to their house, they had two Schnauzers, and which I never liked.
We had Schnauzers, too.
I don't like them.
Yeah.
They have that thing where the hair around their mouth, like their little mustachios, they get brown.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
That grosses me out.
Higgins, man. That was his name.
They're old. That, when like when white dogs get like the tear stains and then like the mouth stains.
Yeah, yeah.
Or putting your hand into like old cold dishwater with like debris inside.
Yes.
That's two of the grossest things that I'll ever see in my life.
I agree.
So I didn't like the Schnauzers, but they had a little Cocker Spaniel who was older. I think she was like maybe 9 or 10 years old. I don't know this, but I think her name might have been Penny, which is kind of funny. I just thought of that. But she was a sweetheart, like an absolute sweetheart.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, when I get older, I'm getting a Cocker Spaniel. And then it became whatever dog that Shiloh was. Was it the Beagle?
Oh, I've always wanted a Beagle. They howl, though.
Yeah, that's what turned me off of them, too.
Oh, man, I like Beagles.
Because I remember growing up and someone about three blocks over, because I grew up in Mount Pleasant, which is, you know, at least at the time, was pretty quiet.
Yeah.
And then you could hear the fucking Beagles from three blocks down all night. Just,
yeah.
I'm like, no, not going to deal with that.
No.
But, yeah, no, it's been fun. You know what? I don't know how this came about, and when I was telling you about it, I think it was you. I can never tell anymore.
anymore.
I might.
All right, Dad.
This is the thing. It's like one of the things I've decided to live my life this way until it becomes inconvenient or I get tired of it.
Yeah.
But it was just like the idea of the most awesome version of your life, right? Or it's, I was just like, I want two dogs. I've always wanted you know, multiple dogs, but two is the max where I live right now. So the opportunity was there. The time would never be better. I had the, you know, the savings for her. Now, could I use that money at better things? Absolutely, but this is what I wanted to use it for. And then so my wife and I are trying to talk ourselves out of it, and I'm just like, fuck it, man. Like, if I get hit by a bus tomorrow or get a terrible diagnosis next week, I want to spend that week with two puppies, you know what I mean? And it's just like, as long as it's reasonable, like I wouldn't get eight or go do something. So I'm going to quit my job and start finger painting or like stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's just like, no, if it's reasonable and it makes you happy and it's doable and attainable, I'm just going to start doing it, you know?
Yeah, man, when I was a kid, we had 13 dogs.
Yeah.
13, 15 with pups, you know, and it's just, it's insane.
That'd be like, yeah, like I couldn't. I can't understand 13 dogs.
Oh, Christ.
You know what I mean? Like, I think if I got past four, I think four would be the end where they all would just be dog.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like George Foreman, and we called all his kids George. It'd be the same idea where it's just like, they're not individuals anymore. They're just the pack.
That's what my dog, or that's what my kid calls dogs. It doesn't matter if I tell just them the dog. Name dog. Hello, dog.
That's funny.
No, I could get a pup, but it'd be like a rugrat chasing around Trigger right now. It'd for sure, I think it'd be a piss off for him.
Yeah.
Because he's old enough that he'd be like, get the fuck off of me. I'm not playing right now.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because all Penny wants to do is play.
Sure, but she's only how old, right?
Oh, yeah, a year, not even a year and a half yet.
You know?
But
perfect time.
It's
because you got one that can teach the other, as you said.
Yeah. No, it's fun.
Okay, so do you mind if I segue into something that is completely not about dogs?
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure anyone listening has been asking for that for the last 7 minutes.
All right. Not that I need to crazy check, because I don't necessarily think I need to crazy check.
Do you need me to shit all over a dream that you have at the moment?
No.
Okay.
No, it's actually...
I like doing that.
Yeah, no, it's actually quite the opposite. How can I start this off? Okay, so you and I grew up in a school system / societal system that said, turn the lights off. Turn the taps off. Be nice to Mother Nature. Don't litter.
Okay.
Right? I don't know when this happened or if it's just because I'm an adult and therefore I'm exposed to more adult shit than it's not necessarily like, hey, turn the lights off because we got to be nice to Mother Nature. It's all the coral reefs are dying.
Mm.
And Antarctica is... fucking melting, and there's like okay, so here's what I want to kind of crazy check now that I'm saying it out loud.
Sure.
And I don't know whether or not you can answer this, but is
I'll act as though I can.
Okay. Climate change, are we fucked?
Absolutely. It's just a matter of time until the sun burns out or explodes. So
sure. If you
a long enough timeline, it none of it matters.
Right.
So, but at the same time, it's funny, we were driving down the street today and I saw this dude who has a lawn about the size of this table and there was maybe two dandelions in it. And I've seen this before. Like, this is like the prototype for like, if we reach like the population limit and we got to pare down, these people should be the first to go. Second, I don't know whether it's a tie between people who throw cigarettes out the window of their cars when they're at the red light. And then people who are, the guy standing there spraying like a poison or an herbicide of some kind onto two dandelions on his postage stamp of a lawn. Fucking pick them out, you lazy fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that mentality, that idea is kind of what is expediting the process of things like that. The same idea where like, you know, there's no vacant buildings in town to run your business out of, so we're going to buy up a farm, pave over it with concrete, and put up 17 plazas, and then fill one with a cash store and a tanning salon, and then the other 13 buildings stay empty for 7 years.
Self-storage, until and a make-your-own-wine facility. And
yes.
What else does Brantford need?
You know,
surplus goods.
a thrift, like a Salvation Army, because we don't have... there's still three corners in town where we don't have one of those. Or like a pop-up fireworks or like Halloween decoration thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like one of those things where it's like, okay, I understand how like business works and growth works. Because if we stop building buildings, what are the people who build buildings are going, like, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
But what do we do when there's no more farms to pave over? Or like the people who live in the high rises in Toronto and they're bitching because there's no local persimmons in the store that day. It's like, motherfucker, you're living on farmland, okay. You know? So it's like, it's shit like that that's going to expedite that. I don't think it's one of those things where it...
I don't think it's an immediate end of the world thing.
No.
Okay?
No.
So there's not what I'm getting towards.
There's
like
definitely too many fucking people on the planet.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like one of those things that if you throw a pop can in the garbage instead of recycling, like six koalas die the next day or something like that. But we absolutely, absolutely... Even if we all wake up tomorrow realizing none of this fucking matters, or we realize that, oh, we are screwed, can we just, you know, not drain our saltwater pools into the fucking sewer or the high chlorine stuff, not dump that to the sewer where it goes, you know, like, even, yeah. Well, you know, the water facility, treatment facility, blah, blah, blah. I don't know any of that shit. Like, I don't have any scientific background or anything like that. But it's just like... Yeah, but can we just not do that? Like, you know, put it on your lawn or something like that, you know?
Okay, so it's always been a back of mind thing. And if I divide or segregate my mind into my lefty mind and my righty mind, like, you know that I'm kind of like a socially liberal, fiscally conservative type of person.
Yeah.
Right? So I have those two competing sides of my mind. And I would place climate change or... like, air quote, environmental issues, whatever that turned out to be. You know, 15 years ago, David Suzuki chirping about chickadees, or today, like, it seems like every third goddamn thing on Reddit these days is the sky is falling.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually a big fucking problem.
Yeah, it will be.
So, this is what started to switch. Now I'm starting to pay a little bit more attention, and it's almost like the more attention I pay... the more news write-ups are based on what I would consider good evidence. So this is what happened. It was the start of February, and I was coming out of jiu-jitsu, and it was like abnormally warm.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. Sometimes it just gets warmer.
Yeah.
I'm totally down with that. And... we were all kind of looking around. I was like, it feels like it's going to fucking storm out. It has that, like, almost that smell
about
the air. Like,
I love that smell.
Feels like it's going to storm. And I made this joke. There's about four or five of us walking to our cars after class. I was like, oh, there's totally nothing wrong with the planet. It's totally going to thunderstorm in February. But there's nothing wrong with the planet. Lo and behold, I don't know if you remember, but there was that gigantic thunderstorm. Like a full-on summer thunderstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. I'm willing to accept that that can happen as a part of the natural ebb and flow that our environment produces.
Sure.
Cool. But it just like almost hooked this little part of my brain like, hey, you got to start paying attention to this shit. I think there's something going on here.
Well, yeah, that's the tough thing is that this is, I always say to you all the time, I always end my rants with none of us knows anything.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of those things where it's, I always find it really funny. I used to love watching those like recreational outrage videos on YouTube where it's just people bitching and complaining and then like more about social issues than anything else. And it's just, I don't know, I got like adrenaline out of it just watching these people yell at each other. Not even at each other, but just at... It's funny when they record that, they're in their room by themselves, right? It's just really funny. And then
to think about, yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, I watched one guy who, you know, considers himself a genius about this and that and the other thing. And talking about how, you know, the world was fucked and for those reasons. And then I watched like a Steven Crowder video, and then he's very, it's funny when he was on Joe Rogan, he's like, I don't know why everyone calls me right wing, but a lot of the shit I see him talk about are like typical,
he's
stereotypical,
for sure right of center.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's talking about how climate change is bullshit. And it's just like one of those things. If I Googled anything, I can find a source to confirm whatever my point is.
Yes.
For most things.
Okay, that's what I wanted to bring up, right? Because it feels like in a world where Donald Trump comes out and just squashes this major environmental plan that was going on down in the States. I have no fucking idea. I just know that there's a big contentious issue about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like the poster boy for people who are saying there's no such thing as climate change. And then on the other side of the fence, you have people saying that this could be, like, in our generation or our kids' generation, a really big deal. Like, to the effect of, you know, all this flooding that can happen and all the different... The XYZ of it, I can't regurgitate because I'm not smart enough to really process it.
And even if we read the studies, we wouldn't understand it. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things that's like when people say, well, just read the evidence. It's like, bitch, if you read the evidence. You know, like, if you... If you are like a construction worker, or you change tires for a living, or you're an accountant, you know, and then you're going to read like in-depth meteorological reports and this, that, and the other thing, you're not necessarily going to be able, and some people are, but you're not going to be able to understand that to a point where you can be completely objective and understand it neutrally.
Scientifically.
You're going to pick out the pieces, the confirmation bias. You're going to read that thing and be like, see, I told you XYZ. And then I'll find one that says, see, I told you XYZ. The thing is that it's all a feeling and it's all an assumption. But it, you know, can we just... And we look at our country where it's like the carbon tax comes in. You know what I mean? And then it's just like, oh, we need to be more environmentally focused. So now gas is going to be 17 cents more expensive. Who's not driving to work now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, who's not? Oh, we're going to increase the cost of your gas, but then we're still going to build houses on farmland. You know, we're still going to build, like, expand highways and stuff like that. And then the population's still growing, but those 17 cents your gas bill just went up by. And it's just like, no one actually gives a fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the second part of it, right? Is because the second thing that I have, like, that I kind of wanted to bounce off you is that the other thing that's kind of freaking me out recently, not necessarily, that's a bad way to describe it, but kind of freaking me out, I guess.
Yeah.
Is I'm starting to pay attention to, you know how we talk about, like, where's your food coming from?
Yeah.
So I have to make sure that's not the wifey.
Yeah.
We talk about where your food's coming from, and I'm just starting to really ramp up the garden and getting all the seeds started, and I just got all my onion sets in. And so now I, like, the last time I did groceries, I'm looking at where the Roma tomatoes came from, looking at where the yellow onions came from, looking at this, looking at that. And, like, that's the second part of it, is that if everybody kind of... blurts out, for lack of a better term, that, oh, we're going to be more environmentally focused. Okay, so are you cool with not having avocados throughout, like, three quarters of the year then?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you cool with only being able to get grapes from Niagara Falls? Are you know what I'm saying, though? It's like...
I remember when I...
Because it trickles down to absolutely everything.
It's one of those things where I don't think anything needs to be fundamentally different. I don't think we need to go to bed one night and wake up in a different world, you know what I mean? But a lot of it's common sense, where it's like, I don't know, maybe like the cheaper we make things at the expense of the environment, maybe that needs to stop, you know? Do we need to, I don't know, like the whole thing, that's what it, like I can't talk in one direction because... It's kind of like all over the place for me. You see all sorts of... It just goes back to that dude who's spraying pesticides on his plants rather than just pulling them out manually. I understand why we need to use pesticides on giant monoculture corn crops. I get it. Because if all of a sudden 60% of the crop was eaten by bugs and there's only 40% of the corn crop there, then all of a sudden... And then you're at the grocery store and you're bitching that there's no corn. You know, cause and effect, right? I think it all goes back to... There's too many people on the planet. And honestly, like the arable farmland that we lose because we need to put a new McDonald's in, or, you know, this 2 kilometer square block doesn't have a Tim Hortons and people don't want to drive 45 seconds to the right. They want to drive 6 seconds to the left. So let's pave over this land because land gets more expensive as there's less of it. And maybe it's cheaper to cut down trees and build a new subdivision than it is to you know, put up a new building where an old one was or something. You know what I mean? But
it's tricky too, right? Because then I'm like, okay, so I'm going to try and actually educate myself on this a little bit.
It's tough.
I'm going to start looking it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're approaching it with a rational mind or a mind that is aware of politics and money mm-hmm. and power and things like that. So where do you start? You start with the big, the most publicly recognizable sources, mm-hmm. essentially, right? So I found out as well that Mr. Al Gore is looking for the man, bear, pig again.
Oh, okay.
He's got the new a new documentary coming out.
Oh.
And it's called An Inconvenient Sequel. And I watched the trailer, and I'm like, okay. So a third of this is clips about Trump. And I'm like, okay, so do we actually have a fucking problem? Or are you just trying to leverage the problem we do have, no matter what that problem is, in order to assert yourself and gain power, dominance, respect, money, whatever it is?
Anytime there's any political like partisanship and stuff like that, it's just like two parents fighting over custody of the kids and using them as leverage against each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, okay, I'm not saying they don't care about the environment, but they're wielding convenient positions to joust with each other. You know, where it's one of those things where...
Here's my question. If there was if this was the actual thing that was, let's even use a predetermined date, that they said somehow they knew in the next 20 minutes, the next 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 30 years, 20 years, 30 years, there's going to be so much of a visible, noticeable shift that it's really going to fuck things over.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we'd be able to pull together?
No.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so, because the only people who have the wherewithal or power to impart that type of that level of change are the governments, and they're not interested in that stuff. You know, they say they are because they need to get the people who that's their votable issue to believe in them. But it's just one of those things where my wife went to a seminar or something like that where they were talking about like healthy food and brand or something like that. And she brought home like this little infographic that she thought I'd be interested in. And it's one of those things talking about like food security. So to the same idea of where does your food come from? Because she's heard me talk about like we do our philosophy on I want to know where my food comes from. And she brought home the thing. And it's just really funny that a level of government says that, you know... shit, now I can't remember exactly how they were saying it, but they were kind of saying about where the food comes from and like the amount of farmland we have has decreased by X amount over the last 15 years and making it sound very dire.
Yeah.
While another level of the same government, like what are they doing to stop that? You know what I mean? It's like how much farmland did Brantford sell off to developers to grow? You know what I mean? And it's like, I mean, if you're a farmer and you want to sell your land to whoever buys it for whatever reason, okay, that's fine. Like, go ahead. But
yeah.
I remember talking to a farmer that we volunteered on. Now, they're very motivated from their side of politics where, you know, and with good reason, because if someone's not out there trying to protect farmland and it's all gone, we're going to be like, well, why didn't anybody stop it? They're trying to do that. And they're like, you know, there's people coming in, buying up farmland and developing over it. And... this is just me repeating what they said because I didn't look into any of it because I didn't really care at the time, that they're selling off these big parcels of farmland to developers to build houses. Like, look at all the houses that are built out
in Paris,
Shullard's Laneway.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot of that was farms. And it's like, okay, so now we've just moved in 400 families into the local region and removed the ability to farm 70, 80, 200, 500 acres of land. Now, that doesn't mean that the produce they'd grow would probably be corn for ethanol or whatever. But if the number of people go up and the amount of land available to grow food for them goes down, that's you're running in two opposite directions from each other. Now you have to fill that void. So now you're bringing in strawberries from Chile or you're bringing in peaches from Australia. What if Australia and Chile sell their shit to some other place? Or what if a drought happens in Australia? Remember when eggplants went up to like $8 a fucking eggplant?
Yeah.
That one summer?
Yeah.
And it's just like, eggplants. I have eggplants growing in my garden right now. $8 a piece, I'll sell them to you for $5. You know,
yeah.
Here, I got $700 eggplants in my backyard. Come on over. And it's just one of those things where that was one particular vegetable that's very, you know, particular scenario. But whatever scenario caused that. Remember when all the apples died?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, well, apples sit in storage for months anyway, so their supply probably dwindled. But they were there, and the prices went up. Well, all that happens is those apples rot in the store because nobody's buying them because they're $7 instead of $4 or whatever. And it's just one of those things where we sit right now, we can afford to lose a crop of apples. We can afford to have eggplant prices jump up for no reason. But if they jump up and stay there because whatever got to that breaking point isn't correctable, yeah, that, I don't think that's going to happen overnight or over 5 years.
Neither
or
do I.
But it's going to happen.
You got to wonder, too, like that example you used of the amount of available farmland running one way and the population increasing running the other way.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's an important part of that, too, that like the population, the unskilled population running one way.
There's a podcast that I've been avoiding listening to because I know it's gonna make me spin, but it's Brian Callen's podcast.
Oh.
It's called the Prepper's Guide to the Job Apocalypse, where basically that where as technology refines itself.
Is that like one episode or a whole?
It's one episode, yeah. And I don't listen to it because I know it's going to make me
spin. Sorry, what's it about? Because I'm in.
I haven't listened. I was reading the description of it, and I'm just like, same thing where there was like that podcast of Homesteady, where it was like there was like something about prepping where it, just for like practical emergencies.
Yeah.
And then the other one was like Escape the Rat Race, and I didn't want to listen to Escape the Rat
Race.
Oh,
I should not have listened to that one.
No, now I'm like, I'm going to quit my job because I just want to be at home with my son and my dogs. But
I want to be a baker.
Yeah. But no, that one's called the Prepper's Guide to the Job Apocalypse, and basically the description was saying about that, like as automation continues to grow, as
that's for sure coming, man,
100%.
Ask all the 16-year-olds that used to work at the counter at McDonald's,
dude. Fuck that. Talk about one of the
all the cashiers at the grocery store.
I haven't vetted this statistic, but there was like a really, someone said the highest percentage of people that work in a certain type of job or whatever in America or something like that was like transport or like a certain demo, like a certain age of men or something like that. The highest area of penetration that they have in the job market is transport. Well, what happens when self-driving cars come out?
Yeah.
You know, fuck Uber and Lyft,
it's
for
coming,
cab
dude.
Drivers.
It's coming.
And now you have somebody who all they've done is drive for the last 10, 15, 20 years, and now they're not needed anymore. And it's just one of those things where it's like, they got to pay their bills. They got to eat. They got to...
Well, Bob, I guess you're going to be a freelance WordPress developer.
You know, and it's well, that's one of those things. Again, in that example I gave where if the amount of farmable land stayed in one position and on the left side, and then the amount of people grew on the right side, and that expanse grew between the two, at least they would be measurable and noticeable. But when they're both going towards the poles at the same time, it's opening doubly fast. If the amount of people on the planet continues to grow, and exponentially so, and the amount of jobs required start decreasing because manual labor is not necessary as much, or technology... Look at Brantford. Brantford's still recovering from all the industry that left. And why did the industry leave? Because there's cheaper labor elsewhere. And now that cheaper labor, and maybe, and again, it won't happen in the next, it might happen in the next 5 years, but at least the next 50, if all of a sudden that cheaper labor isn't other people, it's fucking machines now. What are you going to do, right? Like, what are you going to do?
Just drop that scenario into Banished with Robots.
No, yeah.
Like that's all you got to do, right? Is that, okay, all of your little dudes in Banished are going to keep shitting out babies.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need houses. So you build the houses on the farmland.
Well, then I get a tornado or yellow fever or something, and then I have to start a new game.
What are they going to eat? It's just interesting, right? And I try not to get too skies falling about it because I know about myself that I can get like that.
Oh, me too. And that's why I avoid that stuff like the plague, because it will ruin. Even this conversation we're having right now, if you can't tell that I'm fucking all over the place, it's because I can feel my fight or flight mechanism kicked in about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's one of those things, man. Maybe not us, but our kids, definitely.
Good chance.
Definitely our kids' kids.
good chance.
Definitely. By the time they're old enough to sit across the table from each other and have a podcast, they're not going to be discussing potentialities anymore. You know? Or maybe they'll be fine.
Right? That's fucked. So, like, what... it's a tricky thing. Because this is the other thing I wanted to kind of circle around into, was that we were talking about making big changes and volunteering. I was talking about volunteering with the Red Cross and whatever, and trying to impact more than liking a status on Facebook, like make an impact with my flesh and blood kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we had decided, and I still agree with this, that it makes the most sense or is the best route to do so locally first. And locally, absolutely, on a super, super, super small scale, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, the one thing I did was over in my neighborhood, we have, like, a neighborhood association group on Facebook. And it's actually pretty cool. Like, they a lot of people are moving baby stuff around my neighborhood. So, like, you just found out that four houses down, they just had a baby. So you post it on there, and they'll come pick it up. I got a bunch of firewood from a guy down the street. Anyways, I posted this thing about we're just getting going with our gardens, and I'm trying to scale this year. So, like, I've learned my lessons about tomatoes, for example. For the last, like, 5 years, I've been doing tomatoes. Mm-hmm. I know how to grow a fucking tomato plant now. So I'm trying to scale now. And I said that I'm going to grow, like, 3 or 4 pots of cherry tomatoes, let's say, out the front, and I'm going to put it right by the road because there's, man, like, a good handful of families that walk up and down the street every night after supper. And I'm going to put these cherry tomatoes, once they're mature enough that they're producing fruit, down by the road. If you want to water them, you can. Like, if you want to teach your kid about watering a plant, you can do that. Otherwise, bring a bowl by, fill up, you know, grab a couple handfuls for a salad or something like that. Don't pillage, would be the idea. But anyways, there's like 4 or 5 families that are going to do that.
Cool.
With like some different plants and put them down by the road.
And then I'm just going to drive around and grab everybody's shit, and I don't even live in your neighborhood.
Pretty much, yeah. We're going to have wandering patrols with AR-15s.
Yeah.
You know, but again, that's not like looking at it from the end of the world kind of thing.
No.
But it is also...
I think if you do that, it's like killing a fly with a shotgun type thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not sensical. It's overkill. But, you know, if you don't kill the fly... you're going to have more flies until a point where you're fucking overrun with flies.
Like, you also have to be able to open that piece of the conversation. Our little neighborhood, I think it's like two city blocks. They do a spring thing down at the, there's a little park, and they get a barbecue down there, and they go door to door and say, hey, we're getting together down at the park in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And usually, like, we've been twice now. Usually there's like 25 people, maybe 30 people, something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's usually everybody's kids, and they get a bunch of games going and whatever. My intention would be to bring some stuff down there that I've grown with the intention of saying, this came from my garden. You know where this came from, and open up that dialogue, right? Obviously not to force the conversation, but just as a matter of, hey, let's kind of talk about this.
That example, not you, but what I'm going to say next, is why we're never going to fix things.
What do you mean? I'm offended, but keep going.
No, and that's why I'm saying it's not your part, but it's the next piece I'm going to say. It's the reaction to it. You will do that. You'll bring those things with the reasons you're doing it and your thoughts and opinions, because we share similar philosophy on that.
Yeah.
And what if you bring it there and none of the 50 people there give a shit?
Then I'll shit on their front lawn.
You know what I mean? But that's the thing, is that it...
I don't expect them to.
Oh, and I know you're not doing it for that reason, but I bet you more people than not will just be like... and might even look at you like, who cares?
Who's this lefty hippie?
And it's that apathy, yeah. Intentional apathy... that is why we'll never fix it, because it's just like one of those things. If you live a 100% self-sufficient life, you create zero garbage, you're carbon neutral, or even maybe carbon negative.
Is that a thing, carbon negative?
Oh, fuck.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't think I made it up.
That's
but
for
I,
sure a thing.
I said it out of my head right there. It's probably a thing, but I don't know.
That's for sure a thing.
But if you do that, and the 7 people down the street from you don't, it won't it won't matter. And that doesn't mean not to do it, but that's what's going to happen where I don't think we'll get ahead of it.
Okay, so here's the thing then. Here's my next question. Another philosophy that I hold, and still I definitely still believe this, is that we have a soft and delicate society because we don't have a unifying struggle. Because our grandparents had to live through the war. The war that was so important and so terrible that we just call it the war.
A quick aside, and let's not spend too much time on it. The more I watch documentaries and stuff from that era, the more and more I'm realizing how absolutely fucked, like, Nazi Germany was. And I've always known they're fucked.
Yeah.
But, like, I was telling you, I can't remember whether I was just telling you on the podcast or not, I watched two episodes of the Einsatzgruppen documentary on Netflix. I didn't think I was going to sleep for a week. It's like one of those things where it's like, oh, I knew it was bad. I knew it was bad.
Oh, yeah.
It was real bad, man. Like, I knew it was bad because, you know, everyone in high school has that thing where it's like, that was our last big world event, right? Where it was like, holy shit. And you read into it and everything like that. I thought it was like a 10 out of 10 bad. It was like a 74 out of 10 bad.
Oh, yeah.
And I only got two episodes. They're still setting the table when I said, I'm out, right? Like, ugh.
Yeah, it gets to the point with that kind of stuff when you're, man, any of that like nightmarish stuff. That's the word I want to use, nightmarish, where I got to be careful about how much I take in.
Oh, I honestly, I couldn't sleep, man. I didn't go. I started watching it at, like, my wife went to bed with the baby around 10:30. And so, you know, I watched 2 hours, about an hour episode. I got to about 12:30. I didn't go to bed till 7 in the morning. I watched, like, fucking Samurai Gourmet to just, like, mental bleach that out of me. I just watched some sweet little Japanese man eat food for fucking 5 hours just to purge that out of my brain.
It's crazy because it wasn't thousands of years ago.
No, like there's probably not many more anymore, but there was probably people.
There for sure is.
Who were involved in it in one way or another.
For sure.
Let alone their next direct descendants. You know, where mom and dad, on one side of it or the other, were part of that. Wow.
A guy that I listened to quite a bit, Dr. Jordan Peterson from U of T, he's best known for being the outspoken Canadian advocate for doing away with gender and race-specific pronouns and shit like that. And he's just a very outspoken kind of thinker, I would say. And he has this interesting talk. He's brought it up a couple times where, as a mental exercise, try to imagine yourself as a Nazi. And then fight against the inclination to immediately assume that you would be the guy that says, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be a conscientious objector.
Yeah.
You can't make me be a Nazi because statistically you would have went along with it.
Yeah.
And if you going along with it meant that you were a stormtrooper going through the ghettos or just a business owner that wouldn't serve certain types of people.
Yeah.
You probably would have went along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a stretch to imagine yourself doing horrendous shit.
Okay, you're sitting at your cubicle and...
have a good night, Wyatt. Bye.
You're sitting at your cubicle and there's another three people beside you. And everybody wears the company shirt and it's a red shirt. And someone comes in and says, company shirt's green now. Put this green shirt on. And it's way, way too small or itchy or you don't want to do it. And then one guy says, no, I'm not putting this shirt on. And they shoot him in the head. And then they go to the second person and they're like, well, here's the reasons why I really don't want to do it. Like, it's not a good idea. Can't we just shoot him in the head? And now they hand you the shirt.
Oh, you're going to put that fucking
put the fucking shirt on, right? And it's one of those things where it's like, well, that's a hell of a stretch to go from blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's one of those things where they're like, you know, well, I didn't kill anybody. I didn't da-da-da-da, but, you know. And I'm not saying, and I don't know. Like, I've never been in a situation like that. I have no idea what it would be like.
Can you imagine?
That's another thing that really drives me nuts, you know, and where people are just like, I would never, ever, blah, blah, blah. I can see how you would never want to, and you would hope.
For sure.
And you would hope with every ounce of your being that you wouldn't.
But you probably would.
Gun to your wife's head, gun to your kid's head. Which one?
Yeah.
And if you don't pick, I'll choose both for you. You know what I mean? Now, chances are that'll never happen to you. But after watching 2 hours of that fucking documentary,
man,
I bet you that scenario occurred.
It's human beings. It's just human beings. And that's the trouble with when I start reeling on... naturally, when I'm looking shit up about climate change, it's almost like this this drain effect, right? I can start on completely nonpartisan, good info, like good, clean information, and eventually I go to survivalistboards.com and figure out that like some guy from Tennessee has posted that climate change is going to lead to depopulation.
Overpopulation is going to lead to depopulation. What do they call that? The carrying capacity of an environment?
I know. Don't look that shit up. I'm telling you, don't look that stuff up.
Now, the thing is that, you know, and then like people, again, nobody knows. Everyone can feel and assume and be pretty sure of, but nobody knows.
Totally.
And well, you know, our technology is going to bail us out. Okay.
Elon Musk is going to blast us up to Mars.
Sure they are. Sure. Technology is going to fix us. How long did it take for electric cars to become a thing? They're still not even that much of a thing. You know, how much shitty energy are we? Like, you know, like we're, you know, like how dirty and not even necessarily, you know, Canada's energy is great. Okay, but what about fucking China and India? You know what? If Canada gets its shit together, I know North America loves to think that they're the tip of the world's dick, but at the same time, it's just like, if China and India and a lot of other countries, just by regional space or by population density, don't, you know, it like, then it doesn't matter, because we're all on this little world container, right? We're all in this little petri dish, and if the center of it goes to shit, the edges, it'll eventually spread out to them, right? You know, it's just a matter of fact. So, but again, look at what our technology, look where our technology is really, really growing. Commerce, fucking cell phones, who gives a shit? Like, social media. Okay, all right, fine, it makes everybody happy, but we don't have any real problems yet.
Yeah.
Okay, all of a sudden, all the bees finally die. Now, there's other pollinators than just bees, but... if all the bees piss off,
traditionally,
you can't. I don't care. You can come up with the greatest fucking hashtag ever, but that ain't gonna make plants fuck. You know what I mean? That's what the bees. The bees are little plant fluffers that are out there porking the plants. And if they fuck off because, well, you know, I don't want to pay too much for tomatoes or some shit, that won't be a problem until it's a problem. You know, and it's just one of those things where. Look how long it takes to get anything done of real consequence.
Yeah, no kidding.
So it's, look at when you tried to do that hackathon thing for small Brantford local nonprofits. Yeah. How much bullshit they had to go through just to get that discussed. Okay, you know, there's a some type of ecological issue. Well, now we have to wait for, you know, well, Greg's on vacation this week. We have to wait for him to come back and we'll convene a meeting and then we'll run it up the blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter. Like, yeah, we're fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's one of those things where you'd like, everyone wants to think that that hero principle in the movies and everything like that, where the good guys always win eventually. Okay, I mean, that's fine, but if the good guy's sitting on Twitter and the other good guy's, you know, like, well, yeah, you know, but I gotta, like, my fucking stock portfolio's not doing any good. I gotta pay attention to that. Shit will slip by, and that's why we have so many, just in Brantford, so many vacant storefronts, but they're still building new plazas. Well, I don't want to go into that building. I understand that. I get that, but that's the type of thinking. It's that apathy that I was talking about when you go to the park with me, you bring me some homegrown shit, fucking eat the shit out of that. I'm gonna be like, God damn, that's amazing. You put a seed in the ground, and here I am, I'm eating fucking salads and shit, you know? And other people are gonna be like, yeah, whatever, I've eaten a tomato before. Like, settle it down.
Yeah.
It's just the general apathy, that's gonna be the undoing. Because there's probably more apathetic people than interested people, and it's gonna take a big event to turn those apathetic people into interested people. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes sense.
I'm gonna have a heart attack tonight. This is gonna be the last episode of the Benchcast with me, because I'm going to have a full-on heart attack tonight.
Internet.
Has it already been an hour?
Yeah.
You gotta stop. Okay.
I don't care about your pollinators.
To be fair,
they don't make plants fuck.
To be fair, Bill, I said to Bill before we start recording, I'm like, you know, I'm in a real punchy mood tonight. Get me riled up. And I figured he'd talk about like really meaningless shit that I could just riff on.
And riled.
And it's just like, hey, life is futile. Great.
That's okay, brother, because I made you some bread.
I'm going to eat that entire bread. I don't care if I get diabetes, because the bees stop fucking plants for each other.
You know what you could do that would probably... It would guarantee that you'd get to eat the whole loaf of bread.
Just eat the whole loaf of bread?
But there's also at least the possibility that it could result in divorce.
Okay.
If you just take one bite out of each side of it. Like just one...
Hum, hum, hum.
So there's a bite mark in each side of it. Although it would depend on exactly how tired your wife is.
Is this a long song?
Long-ish. Okay. 4 minutes.
Have you ever had one of those things where you're just sitting there? Let's say you're just sitting there by yourself at home. It's dead quiet. Like it hasn't been in my house for 2 months now. And you're just like reading a book. You're home alone. And all of a sudden you just think of something stupid.
All the time.
You start giggling uncontrollably.
All the time.
I was sitting there just watching TV or something. Just quiet by myself. And I pictured when Homer's in hell.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there and they're feeding him the donuts.
Hop, 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 hop.
Yeah. And I had the full on like shake laughs. Just, I don't know why that floated into my brain. Just a random Tuesday afternoon, just hop, hop, hop. Oh God, man. Killing myself laughing.
Internet, go find us on the internet if you want to.
Nobody's listening at this point.
No, you know what? Let's do this.
I've alienated everybody. They're like, that guy needs some help. And I don't want to get panic stricken by listening to this stupid fucking... Go back to the dick and fart jokes.
You know who's listening? All-Star's listening.
I love All-Star.
I hear
All-Star,
you,
bro. Come bring us some food or something. Because that'll... When I'm eating, I'm never sad.
You never know. I remember that guy to be a pretty nice dude. He might just show up with food.
I feel so bad. I already made that joke about like we'd have to get All-Star and Jesse together.
Yeah, and have a nice off.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll get... they'll be facing away from each other, and we'll flick one of the dude's ears, and then they'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, buddy. Did my earlobe get in the way of your finger? All-Star's like, you haven't seen me in like 15 years, and here you are disparaging my character, you dick. God, I love that guy. He was one of those dudes that you just made you happy just looking at him.
I agree.
Million Dollar Smile. That's our million dollar smile. That's his name.
I actually posted his shit. He was doing a fundraiser on Reddit. And there was two comments about his smile. They were like, God damn, look at that guy's smile. God damn. That's from the internet. Who could have said anything?
I'm telling you, man. You know what? All-Star should be one of those memes that goes everywhere.
A nice guy meme.
Oh, yeah.
Wholesome meme.
Forget good guy Greg.
You ever heard of wholesome memes?
No.
They're like just feel-good memes?
I don't go on the internet anymore.
All right.
Listen to how unhinged I got. And I don't even go on the internet anymore.
Also, internet, if you find my wedding ring around, that'd be...
Oh, that's good.
That'd be great.
That happened to me.
Haven't seen it since jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, that's... That'll pucker your butthole right there.
I'm relatively certain it's either on the bench at Jits, in my bag at Jits, or somewhere in my vehicle. But...
That's enough potentialities there.
You know what it is, bruh. Yeah, so fucking...
Go make your plants fuck.